and encouraging them. Well, we'll get right into the message. It's so good to see each of you. It's good to see Brother Joel Johnson here. It's a blessing to always to have him and Miss Ethel so faithful, and he gets here when he can. It's such a joy to see people that are gathered together for the Lord's service on the Lord's day and here around the Lord's God's Word. So it's a joy to see each of you. We're looking at 1 Peter, if you would, chapter number 1. We'll look at verses 5 through 9. 1 Peter, and it's toward the end of the New Testament there, before 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And so you'll find it there. While you find your place in First Peter, I did hear about heard this story about this old man, excuse me, that crashed into the back of a real expensive sports car. The old man wasn't obviously he shouldn't have done it, but he wasn't paying enough attention, so he hit the back of that sports car. Young arrogant guy jumped out of that sports car, and he was just mad as all get out. He was just wagging his finger at that old man, and the old fellow got out, and the young guy demanded money to fix this sports car. He said, "Before you leave here, you're going to give me some amount, $10,000." Said, "This is expensive, and it's not my fault. I don't have insurance on it yet. It's your fault. You want you to pay." And that old man said, "I don't have that kind of money on me." He said, "I don't have any like that." He said, "But I can call my son. He handles all these business affairs for me. He's the smartest guy I know. He trains dolphins around in the area." And he said, "Well, I don't know what that has to do with anything, but you get him down here." And so the old man, he got his cell phone out, flipped it open, as you know, and hit that and called him. And he said, "Well, son, I hit a car down. This guy is upset." And he said, "Well, give me the phone." And that young cocky guy, he grabbed that and he said, "Listen." Told him the whole story. "Your dad hit the back of me." He said, "I demand payment before we leave here." He said, I don't want the police. I want you to pay." And he said, "Well, I'll be down." He was just a few minutes away. And so he came on over there and he said, "Well, my son will be able to take care of it. He's the most intelligent man I know. As a matter of fact, his business, he trains dolphins." And he said, "I don't care what he trains, what he does." He said, "I just want him here to pay." Well, I got that guy and son pulled up in a car and he got out and boy, he was built. About like Brother Chad Nelson. I was going to use me or Chad, and I didn't know which one to put in this illustration. But we opted for him. I don't want to pull the attention to me as the pastor. Built about like Brother Chad was, and he came over there, and that guy was still mad. He said, "I'm going to beat the dickens out of your dad if you don't give me that money." And he said, "Well, listen, sir." And he just went on. He listened to his mouth for about 2 minutes, and finally, he just grabbed him, set him up on the back of that crashed sports car, and gave him a talking to. And then when he got done talking to him, there was a little retention pond there. He just picked him up and threw him over in there. He said, "Dad, you can go ahead." And he said, "I'll take care of this guy." He said, "He's not going to be a threat to us." And he said, "Well, good, son. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I knew you'd take care of it." He said, "But, Dad, one more thing. I don't train dolphins. I train Navy SEALs. So be careful who you mess with or whose son you mess with, I guess. I want us to have joy in the journey. And there is so much going on in the lives of every Christian that I know. Somebody has wisely said that you're either in a battle, you've just come out of one, or you're getting ready to go into it. And I would add to that, that not only are you in one, just came out of one, or going into it, you may be all three simultaneously. You may have finished up a battle, you're in another battle, and you're getting ready to go in one that you don't know about yet. I can't fix, and nor can you, all of the issues that come. And the passage that we're going to read talks about heaviness and manifold temptations, but it also talks about joy unspeakable. And I've met many Christians, I was with them this week, some of course my own family, in heaviness. Let's look at the scriptures, then we'll tear it apart. Look at verse number 5 of 1 Peter chapter number 1. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen," none of us in here have seen him, "ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end," or the outcome, the culmination, the end of your faith, "even the salvation of your souls." I want to preach for a little while about this subject, and that is joy in the journey. At Christmas time, I saw what you did. I saw some signs around as you go shopping and looking for different things, signs that said, "Keep Christ in Christmas." And I think that's a good admonition. But I might go a step further. I would say that we ought to keep Christ in Christians. You don't have to keep him in there. He'll keep himself in there. But in your Christian life, if you're not careful, you and I will do everything that I can do, everything that somebody else can do, everything that we can conjure up or whip up, and we'll forget to go to the Lord in prayer. We'll forget to use his strength through everything that goes on. So we ought to be keeping Christ in our Christian lives. Seems like we overlook him in much of what we do. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I didn't pray. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessings. Father, be with us now. I pray that you would help my good friends that are in front of me. Lord, we need your touch in our lives. And Lord, we can't handle the difficulties and we certainly can't control them. But I know one that can, and that's you. And I pray that you would help us now for Jesus' sake. In his name we pray. Amen. The truth of the matter is our lives are full of difficulties. We are having problems. Perhaps today it's a financial stress that's on your life and you really don't know as you wring your hands how it's going to turn out. Family issues, job issues, in-law issues, and property issues, whatever it is, you have all of these things. You may face all of them, but our God says in his word that he gives help, he gives comfort, and as it says in verse number 8, he gives joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so as we look at joy in the midst of the journey, I realize today that joy is not something that comes from our outside surroundings. You can remember it like this. Happiness is a kid getting to go to eat pizza. And then as soon as he's done eating pizza, you're going to take him to the ice cream shop. And then as soon as he's done the ice cream shop, you're going to go to one of those candy shops where they got those big tubes of sour, whatever it is. It's mostly sugar and just a little bit of sour stuff to go with it. And there's candy galore. That's happiness. That's also a bellyache after a while, but that's happiness. Somebody said it like this. I'm a brave somebody. I'm very brave. As a matter of fact, I'm going to eat tonight what's hurt my stomach the last 20 times I've tried it, but I'm going to try it again. That's happiness. Getting all the things that you want to do and then getting all the activities that you've been longing to do. Those are happiness from the happenings that are around you. But the Bible says that joy comes bubbling up from the inside and we get joy unspeakable, as the Bible says. But as it talks about joy unspeakable, it's right on the tail end of all of that heaviness and those manifold temptations and that difficulties and everything that's going on in your life and my life that we don't like. But God says through his power and through focusing on him, we can have that joy unspeakable. One of the sweetest ladies in the church in Middle Tennessee that we served at for so many years, her sister and her sister's husband died in a car accident on the same day, went to heaven. This sweet lady who is in heaven now, but when that happened, she was talking to her sister 4 and 5 times a day. That was their normal routine. They went to church together. They did all these things together. And she said, Brother John, I don't know how I'm going to go on. This was my, except for my husband and all that, but a special bond, my sister. But she said this, God's good. And we have peace and joy knowing they're in heaven. My friend, the Bible really is true when it says we sorrow not as others which have no hope. Can you imagine facing what you've been facing without the hope and the help of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ? My friend, we've got to realize today, and I want to walk you through the passages in these next 15 minutes or so. First of all, we've got to understand in verse number 5 that we are kept through the power of God. Look back at verse 5. It literally says that, who are kept, or we're guarded. We're the Lord's on watch about us, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Why is our joy so much better than that happiness? Because after that trip to the pizza shop and then the ice cream shop, then the candy shop, and then a favorite activity that you might do, after that's all over, it's done. You got to go home. And you can't duplicate that every day. Your weight limit wouldn't handle it. Your budget might not handle it. And your lifestyle wouldn't handle it. But the reason that joy is so much better, it can be present in the midst of the worst times of your life. I spent Christmas night several years ago when we were still in Middle Tennessee at Vanderbilt ER. one of our faithful members who had worked in a bus ministry had fell down the steps and broken his back on Christmas night. And so as I stayed there with that family, I realized that they had something that most of the other people in that ER did not have. They had joy in the midst of one of the biggest trials that their family had ever faced. Their joy was kept. It still is. I saw this family on coming through the receiving line for Amy's family. I want you to look at the end of verse number five. Sometimes it seems like this hope, this faith hides out. But look at the end of verse number five. Ready to be revealed in the last time. I know what some Christians tell me. Preacher, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can go on. And they're right, they can't, not within their own power. But that power of God that's kept us through the faith unto salvation, it's ready to be revealed in the last time. God may not always come when you want Him to, but He always is right on time. I see, first of all, we're kept through the power of God, but I also have to report to you, as you know, in verse number 6, Christians go through some heavy times. There's no doubt we go through low times. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls it in verse number 6, through we are in heaviness. It shouldn't be any surprise to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It shouldn't surprise us when we understand what the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, went through on this earthly journey of His as He walked this soil for 3.5 years, being beaten and mocked and ridiculed, and somehow we as His followers think that we would be scot-free as we go through and that everybody's going to like us. My friend, there are times when we go through heaviness, but praise the Lord, look at verse number 6 at the beginning of it, that heaviness that it speaks about at the end of the verse, it tells you how long you're going to keep it, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. You say, seems like my season's pretty long. I can't tell you how long the season is, but I know one thing about seasons, they end. I love this time of year right now, getting ready to where we are starting to see some flowers that will pop out and some trees will bud, and we're getting ready for that springtime, and boy, oh boy, aren't we ready for that. I like the fall season where we see the leaves fall and you take trips to wherever, go to Asheville or somewhere, and you see the beauty of God's leaves changing and you get your coat out and you get maybe a football game, you do all these. I love to see the changes of the season, but one thing I understand about seasons is that seasons come and seasons go, and the Word of God says that this heaviness that you are now in is for a season. Pick up your head, my dear Christian, because the Lord has you going through a season right now, but this season will end. And Christians, though, go through heavy times. But the Scripture says a strange thing in verse number 7 that I want to draw your attention to. It says, if you're taking notes, not only are we kept through the power of God, we go through heaviness, but it says in verse number 7 that your trials, my trials, are something that I would never label them. God's got a different labeling system than I do. You ever go through somebody's files and they say, it's right there on my desk, it's here, and you can't figure out what kind of filing system they've got. My wife wonders sometimes if I have any filing system. She says, post-it notes on your desk don't count as filing systems. But we wouldn't classify it like they classify it. And here's one that I don't classify except by the help of God. I'm not classifying it like God classifies it. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold. How? On God's green earth, can some of the problems that you've been going through be labeled in this fashion in verse number 7, more precious than that of gold? There's a grandmother that's in bad shape right now. There's a daughter that's coming home from Wisconsin that's had a great trial. There's families right there that would love to have the person sitting with them. And we could go on and on in this auditorium. And We call that heartbreaking. But God says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold. Just the other day, I serve on the board of BIMI, and I was down there the other day, December, I guess, for the board meeting. I drove past Camp Joy again. I've been past it different times. And Camp Joy was a camp that was started by Lee Robertson and the Highland Park Baptist Church. And the gasoline, so to speak, to start that Christian ministry was when Lee Robertson was preaching in Alabama. And his secretary called him and said that his baby daughter, 8 or 9 weeks old, I believe, was passing and did ultimately pass. And he said, as I drove home, he said, it was an amazing thing. It was as if God took residence in that car with me and impressed upon me that the camp that they were going to start was going to be, I can't remember the name was going to be, but I know what the name ended up being, because he said that it was going to be called Camp Joy. Joy was the name of their little baby girl. And for years and years, Camp Joy had the slogan, where boys and girls begin to live. And thousands of young people came there free of charge to have a week full of horseback riding and fun and chapel services too, to preach the gospel. 1,700 people that Camp Joy had records of, 1,700 boys, had surrendered their life to go be a preacher. So not only were the thousands saved on the campus of that great camp, but then hundreds went out to be used of the Lord in a preacher capacity. My friend, I'm just telling us that the trials that we face, God calls them precious. But let me tell you from verse 8, if we are going to call them precious, we're going to have to live in verse 8. I don't believe you can get there in verse number 7 without verse 8. You can will it to happen. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to call these things precious. I don't think you will unless you move over and live in verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I give you my last thought, and that is that our joy is gathered by keeping our eyes on the Lord. I don't believe you'll be able to classify your trials as more precious than gold, like God did in verse number 7, just by the will of your intentions. I believe you're going to have to get over in verse number 8. And like the old song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Our joy is going to be gathered not by just a will to have joy, but by keeping your eyes upon Jesus Christ. And when we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, we'll be able to then go on to look at verse number 9, and we can look at the end as mentioned, receiving the end of your faith. Class, if we were a class, the end of our faith is that eternal home in heaven. Now, I'm just as sure as if we're already there, that I'm heading that way. But it's not something that I'm going to get. That eternal life is something, if you're a believer in Christ, you already have it now. But it's going to be much different when God eventually takes you from this earth and takes you to glory. And the Bible talks about that being the receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I don't know what's befalling you today, but I do know that we can have joy in the journey. You say, Brother John, my journey's pretty pitiful. My journey's got a lot of hiccups and roadblocks and potholes and bridges out. I can't dictate what's on your journey. All I can do is say that the God of all comfort, the God of all peace, the God of all ability will make you have joy unspeakable, full of glory, when we get our eyes upon Him instead of what the journey is. I do know you can have joy. Maybe you're in this room today or you're watching. You say, Pastor, it seems like nothing in life is making sense to me. My journey is a pitiful, pathetic one. Perhaps it's that you've never turned your eyes upon Jesus for the first time, really. Oh, you've heard about Him. You've even gone through some religious services. You've even prayed in your life, Lord, get me out of this problem. But maybe you've never turned your eyes upon Jesus in faith. To every person, there needs to come a time in your life where you quit trying to get yourself to heaven. You quit trying to be a good person on your own. You quit trying to figure out life and all of its problems. You turn from everything and turn to Jesus Christ, asking Him to forgive you of your sins. And maybe the reason you're not able to figure out all the problems in life is because you're not able to, because you're not looking at Him through a salvation filter. If you're here today, and you know that your life is a mess, and you know, though, that you're a sinner, as the Bible says we all are, and you just can't figure out, you can't make heads nor tails about anything, my friend, what you need to do is come to Jesus and look to Him in faith and ask Him to be your personal Savior, Savior from your sins, and take you to heaven. And if you're one of the people in this room that have done that, you've already asked Christ to be your Savior and forgive you of your sins. You know the Lord is your Savior, but you seem to be getting bogged down in all of the journey. My friend, you and I better start living in verse number 8. We haven't seen Him yet, but we believe. We're going to have to get our joy for the journey in our close walk with the Lord. So, twofold invitation. If you're here and you're not certain that you've ever received Christ as your Savior, my friend, you're not going to make sense out of this old world. You might as well quit trying. But what you do need to do is come to Christ in faith, believing Him for salvation of your soul. And then if you've been wondering why so many things are happening to you as a child of God, I can't answer the why. But I can tell you can have joy unspeakable, full of glory, but not as long as you keep your eyes on the problem, but instead when you get your eyes on the Savior. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I ask You to help each and every one of the folks in front of me today and the ones that are listening or watching. Lord, no doubt there are so many difficulties going on in our lives. And first of all, Lord, I pray for the believers in this room. Lord, they've been trying to make sense out of the problems. They've been trying to make sense out of the heaviness, the manifold temptations, the problems that they face. They've been trying to realize Romans 8:28, but we may not realize how Romans 8:28 answers our problems till one of these days we get to heaven, and then we say, oh, now I see. But Lord, it's by faith that we trust You even when we can't see. So first of all, Lord, I pray for these believers that they would trust You when they can't see what You're doing. When they can't trace what You're doing, they would just trust You. They will believe You. They will count on You. They will, although they haven't seen You, they love You. And although they see You not, they believe. Father, I pray that You bless every Christian in this room. And then, Lord, I pray for any that are unsaved, trying to make sense out of this old world. It'll never happen. But, Lord, I pray that You would help them come to Jesus Christ today. Show them their need of salvation. Show them their hopelessness without Christ. Lord, I pray that somebody would be saved if they're unsaved this morning. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies begin to play something softly through? If God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. Christian, maybe you've been trying to figure it all out. You are trying to do something that's above your pay grade. Would you step out and come? Would you step out and just give it all to the Lord, whatever it is? Maybe you're here and you need to be saved, need to be born again. Need to take Christ as your Savior. For the only hope of heaven, would you step out and come? Need might be, would you come to the Lord? As we just wait on the Lord for a little bit, my friend, perhaps it's you. You're the one that needs to give in, give up, give it over to God. You Christian brother, you've been trying to carry this load for such a long time. Boy, doesn't it get heavy carrying something that belongs to God anyways? As they just continue to play on through for just another moment. Would you step out and come? Here, and you need to be saved. Let's not leave this place without getting that settled. Here, and you need to give something over to God as a Christian person. I have no doubt in the crowd this size, there are some Christians that are well nigh, if not all the way, bitter about what some things have happened in their lives. My friend, that's going to have to be overcome by an eye of faith, by trusting the Lord that He had greater things for you through the problem than you could ever imagine outside of the problem. Thank you so much. You may look this way, and it's a joy always to have folks here at our church, and that when the Lord moves on the hearts of somebody to join the church, and they felt led of the Lord to do that, and that Brother John and Michelle Milburn have done just that. They've prayed and sought the Lord, and they feel like the Lord would have them be members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. It thrills my soul. Amy and I met with them and their precious two little ones, and we're thankful for each of them, and they're a wonderful family. And so we are thankful that God has led them to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and we would need to vote them in. So if we would have a motion that somebody would like to, Brother Shannon Barker makes a motion, and Brother Marty Scrawl seconds the motion, and all in favor that we would accept the Milburn family into membership here of our church, would you say aye? Or raise your hand or whatever. All opposed, same sign. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. We're so excited that they are here. And I want you to get by and see the Milburns. Some of you, greet them in and welcome them here to the church. And what a blessing. They've already been to us, and we're looking forward to it. They were able to go to the couples retreat. And I want to say thank you to all the staff that continued on with the couples retreat. I mean, I didn't get to go in case you were one of the, if you were the couples that were there. The reason we weren't there, of course, Amy's mom's funeral. But thank the Lord. There was a great crowd over there. And thank you to the staff for continuing on with that. And thank you for investing in your marriage. And if you weren't able to go this year, I invite you next year. I don't know the dates yet, but it's a great, great time together. We will have a good time just investing in your marriage. And it's a real, real joy to your spouse. You say, well, I don't think I need that. Well, you're wrong, first of all, okay? I'm just joking. Your spouse might think differently. And all the message that might be sent by you just going to go do that. And I take our car to get service, not because it broke down. I take it to get service so I don't get broke down. And so I also, I mean, my wife, she's got a lot of things that need to be worked on in her life. So I take her to these things because I want to live a happy life. And so I'm not going to live a happy life right after the service, but usually I try to live a happy life. So thank you so much if you were able to go. And if you're not, maybe try to get next year. It'll be a blessing to you. One final word about the outdoor night. That'd be coming up just a little bit. Here's how we designed the tickets. We really don't need the money, the $4, but what we've done that for is, if we want to be blatant and blunt about everything, we've given that so you can buy a few tickets and then invite somebody to come be your guest. And so maybe you're able to buy your ticket, and it's for ladies, men, children. It'll be a wonderful time together, good food, and Chad's a really pleasant speaker. You'll enjoy it, but he'll get the gospel at the end of it as well. But it's designed so that you can maybe buy five tickets and have two or three extra so that you can say, hey, would you come and be my guest? It's just a bridge event. It's something that we can get people to come to this when we can't get them to come to church, but maybe get them to come to an outdoor event if they're a hunter or fisherman or whatever, if they like outdoors, and I think it'd be a blessing to them. So just that quick word about the outdoor night. We have a great time together with the Lord, I believe. So thank you again for being here. I invite everybody back tonight. Here's how it happened with the Lord's Supper. In the lobby, as you come in, there'll be a couple tables with the self-serve bread and juice, and you'll just get it on your way in. We'll give you a chance at the beginning of the service. If you forget, you can go back out and get it. You'll get that on the way in. That'll be the entirety of our service. So I'll share a brief challenge, a brief thoughtful, hopefully, remembrance of what the event is. But then we'll just take the time as a church family to spend together observing the Lord's Supper. And I think it'll be a sweet, sweet time for you. So please, I invite everybody back. Please be here, and we'll have a good time together. Thank you for being in church. I invite you to come down and see the Milburns and greet them, and maybe put a face with a name, let them know who you are, and don't expect them to remember it later, but you be praying for them and asking the Lord to bless them as they are joining. We're certainly thankful that they have. So, all right. Well, Brother Daniel, why don't you come and pray and dismiss us, and then we will leave. Thank you so much for being in church. What a joy.
Father, thank you so much for the day that you've given to us today, a wonderful morning in church. Lord, we thank you for everyone who is able to gather or tune in. Lord, I pray you bless the time now. I pray you bless these thoughts to our hearts. And Lord, help us to Lord, just appropriate the truth and maybe find someone to pass it along to. And Lord, we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.